welcome you all to Drive to HR. And today it's pretty drizzling outside in Dallas, so it's pretty cool out here. But other than that, pretty awesome at home, and we are so excited to talk to our wonderful guest, and we are going to talk more about employee engagement. That's a pretty hot topic, huh? So stay tuned. We are going to talk to our wonderful guest, Liz Kelly. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, we are so honored to have you here with us today. So if you can talk a little bit about yourself, you know, our audience can know more about you, that would be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've been working in the field of employee communications and employee engagement for over 16 years now. And for the last 5 years, I've been running a company called Brilliant Inc., which is an employee engagement consultancy based in the Bay Area of California and also in New York. And we work mostly with Fortune 1000 companies every day to help them think about how they can shape their own employee experiences. And it, you know, for me, it's really interesting because this role gives me kind of a dual lens into employee engagement itself. On the one hand, I get this firsthand look into the employee engagement challenges that our clients are dealing with every day, and these are large companies, so, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 or more employees, and their challenges are complex, and if we're talking about behavior change, it's hard to do with that kind of employee audience. And then on the other hand, you know, I'm managing a small business that's in the business of employee engagement. So from my vantage point, I feel like we really have to be darn good at practicing what we preach. I can't send my people out to go and counsel others on how to do this if we have a lousy culture. So the upside is we're small, right? We can try things easily and change course easily. The downside is we don't have the amount of resources and the amount of people that can drive that kind of change. So it really is an interesting, fascinating look at kind of both sides of the coin of employee engagement, and keeps me busy every day.
Well, that's what we're right about to ask. What's keeping you up at night? That is our normal, regular question. But before we talk more about this employee engagement and what's keeping you up at night, I wanna talk a little bit more about your upcoming project that is Employee Engagement Hackathon. Tell us more about it. Tell us more about that project. What's going to happen, and what are your planning stages, and what we can expect out of it?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked about this. This is in the works for almost a year now, and I am absolutely thrilled that it's coming together. But the hackathon that you're referring to is something we're calling Hack the Experience. And I guess, Nisha, I should ask you, do you feel like your audience is familiar with the concept of a hackathon, or would it be helpful to explain what that is?
Sure.
Yeah, so I mean, I think if you're in the tech world, a hackathon is probably something that you're pretty familiar with, and in its truest sense, it's a bunch of programmers and developers getting together to come up with new technology platforms, and the regular ones, they're working around the clock for like 48 hours and not sleeping and all of this. We're not going to go there, but we wanted to take this idea of a hackathon and focus it on the challenge of employee engagement, which has been done online and has been done in certain ways, but not to the extent that we're planning it. So we've brought together professionals from, we're bringing together professionals from the HR world, org development, employee communications. We're bringing in corporate social responsibility, so CSR folks, students, and we're bringing them all together for a one-day, really creative brainstorm session around how we can tackle some of the biggest challenges in employee engagement and come up with new and fun and exciting solutions. And that's going to happen Friday, February 28th in San Francisco. We're absolutely thrilled to have Autodesk as our event host for this. So we'll be doing it in their gallery space, which is just beautiful. And I think it's going to be an amazing event.
Wow. Well, good luck with that. So I'm gonna ask you one challenging question that has come up in my mind just regarding employee engagement. You know, when you talk more about this hackathon, what is coming up in my mind is like, you know, there's no one cookie cutter for everything, right? And every organization is unique just as their culture and their work environment are different. But at the same time, what are the expectations that every single employee is having is also different. So what would you say to those organizations or to those corporate who owns this employee engagement?
It's such a good question, and it's funny. I've been in panel discussions where we have tossed this out to panelists and the audience to kind of think about who actually owns this. And I think the fact that we're trying to bring together all of these different professionals in this employee engagement hackathon, it is sort of reflective of who owns employee engagement. Certainly, this is in the world of human resources for sure. And then if you dive another layer deeper into that, you know, training has a responsibility for this. Organizational development has a responsibility for this. Employee communications has a huge responsibility for this. Management has a responsibility for this. So I think it's difficult to kind of pin it to one person. There's a lot of different pieces and people that own things. One thing that this is making me think of in general, too, is just that the idea of employee engagement, I think one of the reasons it's hard to pin down is because the idea of employee engagement can be somewhat nebulous itself. There isn't a clear, universally accepted definition of employee engagement, and as a result, I think it can become challenging to think about, what do I do about this? How do I get my employees engaged? And if they aren't engaged, what am I going to do about it? So I really like to approach it more from the lens of employee experience. And what I mean by that is if we think about the entire employee life cycle, from the moment that you start a job, and really even before you start, when you start thinking about that, a company is a potential employer. So from that moment to the end of your time with a particular company, what are the moments along the way that really influence employee engagement? Understanding that some of those are going to be highly personal, but there are some that companies can absolutely influence. So if we think about focusing on that holistic employee experience and then zeroing in on moments that move the needle on employee engagement, I think that's an easier way to get at this challenge of employee engagement.
Liz, for you or your clients, is engagement a destination or is it a rest stop along the way to something else?
That's a really interesting question. I think it's both. I mean, we know for a fact that, you know, Gallup has done great research in this area of the cost of employee disengagement. I'm sure you're very familiar with that. $450 to $550 billion a year is the cost of having employees that are not engaged. And we know for a fact that engaged employees stay longer at their companies. They perform better. And companies that have engaged employees post higher profits. So this has been well documented. So in terms of thinking about employee engagement as a rest stop, absolutely, because it's the waypoint to all these things. But I also think it's the destination. If you do this, these things fall into place. And I don't think that we have to complicate it too much. I think we can all think about fantastic interactions that we've had with organizations, right? Every time I stay at a Kempton hotel, I've never had a bad experience there. The customer service is outstanding. That tells me something about that employee and culture and employee engagement there. Pretty much every time I get on a Virgin America flight, I have a great experience. That tells me something about that culture and employee engagement there. So I think that we know it by seeing it, too.
You mentioned the word disengagement. It was top of mind for me. Do us a favor and paint us a picture of what disengagement looks like to the naked eye, and or even the opposite. What does engagement really look like so we can get a kind of a common sense of what these things really look like inside an organization?
Yeah, and so I mentioned this idea of employee experience and the idea of employee engagement being kind of nebulous. We've actually done our own research in this area with hundreds of Fortune 1000 employees on what are kind of the key moments of the employee experience that drive employee engagement. And as part of that, we really wanted to look at What's the easiest way to get at this kind of definition of employee engagement that isn't going to be overwhelming, but it's going to be somewhat simple and actionable? So not looking at 60 measures, but can we zero in on a few key things? And so where we really focused were four areas. One is advocacy. What is your willingness to promote the company that you are working for? Retention, how often are you looking for another job? Pride in your company, and satisfaction. Satisfaction in both your company and your job. So those four measures are really critical to employee engagement. So if we think about what disengagement looks like, then, you know, flip that, right? You're looking for another job. You don't want to be there. You don't feel satisfied with the work that you're doing. You don't feel proud of the company. You're not going to be an advocate for that company.
So Chris Dunn refers to engagement as, and it might be him and it might be one of the 300 wonderful HR bloggers out there, but if I've gotten this confused, please don't hold me to this. But he talks about engagement in terms of unlocking discretionary effort. So in your travels, you know, what do you think is kind of the at the end of the day, you've got a bunch of skeptics and cynics and critical people on the other end going, yeah, sounds like a nice to have, not a need to have. What do you kind of bring them back to, no, this is actually what you get. When you get engaged employees, you get this thing. And Chris, I believe it's Chris calls it discretionary effort. You get that, and that's the outcome, and that's the game. But from your perspective, what is the real reason we do engagement?
There's two ways I could answer that, and I want to give you the hard and fast.
Oh, give us both. No, give us both.
I will. I mean, I'll give you the hard and fast business answer first because I think that's what we need, and that's certainly what our clients need to hear. Whatever you're calling it, if it's discretionary effort or however you're going to put it, it's impact on the bottom line, right? We don't exist. My company doesn't exist if we don't make money. It's that plain and simple. And any other company is the same. You need to see some sort of output in terms of your bottom line. And whatever that looks like, I think maybe, you know, I don't know. For us, you know, that's going to translate really powerfully into client service because that's what we do. But ultimately, it's about the bottom line. Now, the passionate employee experience revolutionary in me wants to tell you that it's about something bigger, too. It's about helping people find meaning and purpose in their work. There's something tremendously powerful about that, and I think that absolutely contributes to the bottom line, too. It may sound a little esoteric for business, but I think it's very real.
All right. So if we can agree that engagement is the hub, what are the spokes? Like, what are the things that are you can relate engagement to this, and this?
Yeah, well, our research that we've done in this area, again, we were trying to think about how do we make employee engagement actionable and to a certain extent programmatic. And again, we don't want to simplify it too much. There are a lot of things that can relate to for all employee engagement. If we're thinking about from a company perspective what you can influence, our research indicated six specific areas to focus on. First one is the job hunt experience. So what is an employee, a prospective employee, experiencing even before they have any formal interaction with your company? What does that look like in terms of what they're finding out about you externally, from your website, from their own personal network? That starts shaping employee engagement before they even have a conversation with you. So that's really important. The hiring experience is really important. What does that interview process look like? And is it authentic to the job you're going to be doing? Your first day on the job and your overall orientation experience is really important to engagement. Is it clear? Is anything confusing? Are you feeling let down after an amazing hiring experience? That can really impact employee engagement. And same thing with onboarding in those first 90 days on the job, same thing. And then once you kind of settle into your job, there's this area of our research that we just ended up naming daily grind communication. So it sounds terribly unflattering, but it is what it is. It's sort of when you settle into your job, what's happening kind of day in and day out? What does that look like? Are you feeling connected to your company and the higher purpose and the mission? That's really important to employee engagement. And then finally, your career path. Where are you going? Do you see opportunities to grow and develop? That's really influential to employee engagement as well. So those were the key focus areas that we identified that, again, companies can focus on from a programmatic standpoint to really move the needle on employee engagement.
So I want to get your take on values and culture in the context of engagement. And I want to ask the question that says, can a bad firm, so the Wolf of Wall Street, can a bad firm have engagement? Or does it have to be, are we just kind of thinking of it in the positive senses? And I want to get your, specifically, I want to get your take on values and culture and how they relate to engagement.
I think that, so I haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street yet, but I can get kind of an image of what that culture is. I think success can mask a lot of issues, right? If a company is doing amazingly well and the money is flowing in and everybody's getting paid well and everybody feels great about that, then sure, I think you can have short-term engagement, perhaps without deeper connection to values. I think the values, that higher purpose and mission is where the rubber meets the road. Eventually, all companies, it happens in growth cycles. You go up, you go down. You've got to weather that storm, and it's that idea of sustainability. I think that's where your mission and values really create the glue that is going to hold your employee population together.
Well, that's really great, Liz. And, you know, we have seen a lot of surveys when we talk about employee engagement, but can we really measure this employee engagement?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. And this is something that we have talked about with our clients before. I know that there are many tools out there to measure engagement. And I think that you can, you know, I mentioned that those areas of advocacy, pride, retention, you can definitely look at those things. I think what's more interesting to me is what do I do about this? You know, what's going to be more useful for an organization, finding out that I have 60% of my employees engaged, 40% disengaged, then understanding where do I go to address this issue. I do think that certain, you know, for thinking about the idea of employee experience as a reflector of employee engagement, there are things that are highly personal. You know, if I work on some sort of project that's super important to me and my own goals, that's highly personal, and I feel very proud of it when it's successful. That's highly personal. That's a little bit harder to influence at the corporate level. But focusing on certain specific areas, companies can move the needle on employee engagement, and I think that's where you really want to measure, right? Because that proves why you have your job in the first place. If you are in the business of employee engagement, you want to be able to prove that not just that you can measure employee, you can conduct an employee engagement survey and present those measures to management, but what you're going to do about it to move the needle, that's what's really important.
Wonderful. Well, we have a question from our Twitter stream. Destin, he's asking, what's the one employee engagement experience that stands out the most to you?
One employee engagement experience that stands out the most to me. I will tell you something from a personal standpoint, and it's not a positive, but I think it's really powerful, and it ultimately set me on this path. So one of my very first jobs out of graduate school was at a small HR consulting firm on the East Coast, and I'd gone to school in Chicago, in the Chicago area, and I was so excited to start this job. I basically graduated on a Friday, packed up my car, moved my apartment, and moved to the East Coast on Sunday to start this job on Monday. It was a little crazy. And I had asked the hiring manager what time I needed to get to work, and he said, well, I usually get there at 7:30. So I thought, all right, I'll be there early too. 7:30 it is. So I showed up the next morning, 7:30. He's the only one in the office. And I go in, we sit down in his office, and we chat for a few minutes, and then he looks me dead in the eyes, and he says, okay, thank you, which was, you know, clearly my cue to leave. So I went, I found my desk, and I basically sat there for the next hour and a half until any of my other coworkers showed up. I didn't have any paperwork to fill out. I didn't have anything to read. I didn't know how to get on company email. I'm going to sound really old, but the Internet was kind of in its infancy, and I was a little nervous about looking like a slacker, so I didn't even surf the net. I just sat there. And in a company of about 10 people, I think 4 or 5 came by to say hello the entire day. And I went home that night and I just thought, wow, I have made the biggest mistake of my life. It was horrible. I was in this town. I didn't know anybody. It was really a horrible employee engagement experience. And I lasted 7 months in that job. Now, there were clearly other things going on. It wasn't a great fit for me for a lot of reasons. But I have always remembered that moment, first as just kind of a lousy personal experience for me. But later, as I went on and I worked in this field, I realized what an amazingly big missed opportunity this was to create a better employee experience and employee engagement right out of the gate. It could have been so simple, and it was missed. And I think a lot of organizations do this, unfortunately, which is why I have a job.
That's great. And the next question is from Daniel. She's asking, how do we engage members of our teams who have little or no autonomy, and how do we measure that?
Little or no autonomy. Without knowing more than that, it's a little difficult to get too specific, but I think that we can go back to that bigger picture. Everybody wants to feel connected to something larger than themselves. That is a universal human longing. So looking at opportunities to connect people to that bigger picture and to higher purpose is a great way to inspire engagement. And this is something that we love to work with our own clients on. And for some companies, it is a slam dunk, easy home run. You know, if you work in the healthcare business, for example, pretty easy. You're affecting people's lives. You're in some cases, you're saving lives. So it's pretty easy to feel connected to that. In other industries, you know, if you're manufacturing computer chips, for example, you're a little bit farther down the line. But I think whatever it is, there's an opportunity to connect employees to a higher purpose. And that's a great way to move the needle on employee engagement, no matter what line of work you're in.
Well, that's great. I remember reading the Fortune HR predictions, and it's saying the war for talent is over and the talent won, and 2014 is the year of employee. So for the organization or for the HR professionals that are listening right now, what are your thoughts and advice to make the employment experience of their employees much more rewarding and empowering than before?
Yeah, I think there are a few things I could say there. I mean, the first place to start is to really understand the employee experience that you're creating. You know, do an honest assessment of it. Like I mentioned, we've done research in this area, and we know specific areas that will move the needle on employee engagement. And that research report is available on our website, which is brilliantinc.net, brilliantinc.net/EE, that you can download the whole report for free. But I think, you know, looking at your own employee experience first and doing an honest assessment is a good place to start, because that, you know, we are all or have been at one time employees. We know what resonates with us at a human level. So understanding that is really important. Another thing I think is just recognizing that employee engagement starts before anybody shows up at work. So if we're thinking about, you know, trying to attract great talent, we need to think about employee engagement from that perspective, from starting at that point of when you're recruiting. That impression is really, really, really important. And then I also think a huge myth that we saw in the research is creating a structured onboarding process. Almost half of our respondents said that they didn't have any kind of structure to the onboarding process, and they were more likely to be disengaged as a result. So creating some kind of structure for new employees around that first 90 days really, really moved the needle on employee engagement. So those are a couple things that I think, you know, if HR professionals are making a New Year's resolution of sorts, it's a good place to start.
Liz, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I want to get your take on a couple of things: best places to work, great places to work, those awards that are out there. What's the relationship in your mind between employee engagement and those types of awards?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. You know, our research actually looked at these and how they might play into employee engagement, particularly as it relates to the job hunting experience. what we found is that there are a lot of people that are just absolutely not aware of this recognition at all. And that's kind of disheartening for anybody out there that has worked on some sort of submission around this. It is a lot of work. It is hard to get. So that's kind of a downer. Now, if people know about that recognition, it is absolutely an influencing factor in whether or not they want to join an organization, and it's meaningful to them. And there was even some kind of interesting age-related data to that, as in people over the age of 40 cared about that more than people under the age of 40. Why? We can guess on that. So I think the takeaway there is it matters from an engagement perspective, but people also need to know about it. Now, that's kind of like from a recruiting standpoint. In terms of measuring engagement, I think it can be an accurate barometer. They're using different kinds of measures, you know, so different ones are looking at different influencers, and they're thinking about engagement in different ways. But I think it can be an accurate measure of how engaged the workforce is, because a lot of it comes down to straight-up survey data.
So let's talk a little bit in the 3 minutes left. If engagement comes down to art and science, if it comes down to that, what is the art part of engagement, and what's the science part of engagement?
I think it's a 50-50 mix. The science to me comes down to, where do we focus to move the needle on engagement? Where do we focus our time and our efforts to move the needle on engagement? That's the science part. We know it. We have data that says if we focus on these areas, it will move the needle on employee engagement. And there's already a wide body of research that says if we have engaged employees, we have a higher performing company. So that's the science part of it. The art, I think, comes down to the people aspect of it, and also kind of that bigger picture values, higher purpose connection. And I think that the people aspect there is also, you know, the relationships. Those are things that are harder to influence to a certain degree, but that's where the art is.
Awesome. With 2 minutes left, I want to do a couple things. Go back through the hackathon. Tell us a little bit more about if people are interested in that, so we can get the audience to share that with their friends, et cetera. And then also, how can people reach out to you and or follow up and or contact you?
Yes, absolutely. So the hackathon, our registration is going live next week. We will have information available next week on our website, and it's also going to be posted on Eventbrite. We are hosting this event in partnership with some amazing organizations, the International Association of Business Communicators, the American Society for Training and Development, the South Bay, which is Silicon Valley, Organizational Development Network, and an amazing nonprofit called Net Impact, which is all about promoting change from within organizations. So all of these organizations will have information out there about the event as well, starting next week. And then you can also look it up on Eventbrite. It's Friday, February 28th. It's going to be an all-day event to hack the employee experience. We'll be publishing all of the great ideas that come out of it, so I think that's going to be great. And if people want to get in touch with me, our website is a great way to do that, and my email address is liz@brilliantinc.net, and I welcome any inquiries, questions, debates. I could talk about this stuff all day long.
Awesome. And people have hit up your Twitter ID as well, so you can follow up with that later on. Wonderful show. Absolutely wonderful show. Liz, we need to have you on again sometime at 14. Maybe we'll talk about something other than engagement, or maybe not. But it was a wonderful show. Thank you.
Thank you. This is so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Drive Through HR. Have a wonderful afternoon. We're going to roll out to a little B.O.B. Thanks, Liz.
Drinking a German beer with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulder, she probably studied abroad. She transferred to Harvard from King's College in Mars. She says that I'm her favorite cause she admires the art. Michelangelo with the flow, Picasso with the bar. Well put together like a piece by Gershwin. Renaissance style, tonight it's picture perfect. Smile and pack your bags real good, baby, cause you'll be gone for a while.